Welcome to Coach's Corner, brought to you by Epic Esports. I'm your host, Brian Craven, and no, your eyes and ears do not deceive you. We're back. I know it's been a long time. Been one of those really chaotic years, busy seasons, what have you, and kind of dropped the ball on putting out some of these shows. But I've got one for you today, and I have an announcement. This is the last Coach's Corner that you're going to hear from Oregon, because on Monday I'm hopping on the train, and after over 40 years of living on the left coast in Oregon, I am moving to Oklahoma. Got a fantastic new job out there, and just felt like it was time to make a change, time to make a move. So we're going to be doing that, looking forward to it. I am actually going to be working with my good buddy Doug Day, so who knows what kind of trouble we'll get into. Maybe the next announcement will be something more dire, that we've burned down the facility or something. God help us, that's not going to happen. Anyway, want to get that out there. We're going to be changing things up a little bit. One thing I'm excited about is it puts me within driving distance of the convention, so I'm going to be there for that. And looking forward to that, having a good time with some of y'all. Anyway, moving on to the show, I've got Slim Shady on today. We're going to be talking a little bit about the last week of the season, talking about some big games. We got some make or break games this weekend. And then, of course, next week we've got the playoffs. And that's always exciting. So we're going to look at that too. So stick around. I think you're going to enjoy it. We ramble a little bit, but that's what Slim and I do. We kind of go off out in the weeds, and we get a little esoteric and little eccentric and deep, and I've run out of big words to say. Settle in and enjoy, folks. Welcome back to the show. This is Coach's Corner. I'm your host, Brian Craven. And my unofficial official co-host, it's been a while. I'm rusty. Slim yeah. Shady, the legendary linebacker and GM of the Las Vegas Fury. We're back again. It's been a long time because, frankly, I haven't done a very good job of staying on top of things this season. Been quite busy, but we're going to talk about the final week. I'm going to make some wildly out of control predictions, probably. Nah, they're not completely out there. And talk a little bit about the playoffs. How you doing, man? What's new in your life?
I'm good. I've just been waiting in this Zoom call for 7 weeks until we actually got together again and did something productive.
It's been a bit.
I feel like, because the people listening now won't know the amount of times that we've messaged saying, yeah, let's do a show Thursday. Yeah. Friday, yeah. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, yeah, we'll get it. And we just never get to it. But to be honest, I'm kind of glad that this is from a selfish perspective, that this is the show we're doing, because one, there's so much more weight on this week's games than potentially it would have been 6 weeks ago. And two, my personal team, the Las Vegas Fury, is in such a potentially it is the best run in the SFL, I think, at the minute, unless you count Denver, but they just sort of float above as the rest of us peasants. So I'm just in a good place. I'm happy, smiling, as is the rest of everyone in Vegas.
You guys have been surging. You've done really, really well. And did you lose 4 in a row? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
Yeah.
It wasn't good. You were 2-4?
We were 2-4 after 6 games, and we went 2-0 and then lost the next 4, including 2 home games, 1 against Louisiana, 1 against Houston. Mm-hmm. And we lost at Arizona, and we also lost at LA in that ridiculous 55-45 game. Yeah, it wasn't looking great, and to be honest, that was the half of the season, which at the start of the season you would have said, right, you need to pick up wins there. If you're going to pick up any wins, or the majority of wins, it's the start of the season, because you've got to at the end of the season, you've got to, you know, travel to St. Louis, you've got to travel to Denver, you've got to play Sioux Falls, who we wouldn't, who we didn't know would be so sort of far off the pace. Mm-hmm. You got to travel to Fort Worth, mm-hmm. who, as we've seen, were excellent this season. So yeah, it was. I think what it was, we had some tough conversations after week six. Now, I'm not a coach. I always profess that I don't know squat about coaching. And even I could see that we were just being too aggressive to me. We were being aggressive on both sides of the ball, which meant that we were getting burned by teams that had prepped against that. Mm-hmm. You know, we were doing well in yards per attempt and all that kind of thing, and the receivers were doing well statistically, and our secondary was doing pretty well statistically. But as a team, it just wasn't gelling together. It was very much individual players doing individually brilliant things, but over the whole course of the game, you need the team to come together and, you know, push on to get a victory in this league. And it just wasn't clicking. And then I think week seven, we played San Diego at home, which was a bit of a good time for that to happen. Mm-hmm. Seeing how San Diego were 0-10 or 0-11 now, and they're have been struggling. We beat them, and it was kind of like almost like a I don't want to be disrespectful, it was a bit of a tune-up game.
Sure.
You know, a game where we could kind of flip the switch and start moving. It was just nice to get a win. And then we had Fort Worth, and we traveled to Fort Worth, and for whatever reason, Sims were going really well, because we have very open Sims in Vegas. Quite a few of the team will, during the week, go into voice chat and watch the Sims that John's running. They were going well. And yeah, we were quite confident going into that game. And we went rightly so, because in the second half, we completely didn't score a point in the second half. So mm-hmm. we shut them out. And then obviously something like that, we're thinking, right, we're back to 4-4 now. We're back to 500. So from that point on, with the way this league goes, where there's so many teams in that kind of sort of 7-5, 5-7 range, we were right in the mix again. And basically, it's just we won a couple of tight games against Arizona and against Sioux Falls at home. The Arizona game, I don't know if you watched that, but we had that 4th-17 on mm-hmm. with like 10 seconds left, mm-hmm. Which we converted somehow. And that kind of thing, I think that for Colin, our rookie QB, that was his turning point. Because since that point, his interceptions have gone down massively. He's being more conservative, but still scoring touchdowns because we've got such good receivers. And that's really catapulted the kind of, we lent a lot on Scott Johnson in the first kind of six games. And Scott's a great running back, but we can't just put the onus on him every game. And then Colin was so aggressive in the first 6 weeks, and then he's tempered things, and it's a massive part to do with this run we're on now. And then the big clutch win against St. Louis mm-hmm. in week 11, I think, really cemented our sort of credentials to be one of the better teams at the minute in the league. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just my first time in the playoffs, so it's just party central.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and if you think about it, at that six game point when you were 2-4, St. Louis was they were killing it. And you mentioned, you know, you look
five
at
and one.
Yeah, you look at the schedule and you look, okay, these are wins we have to have, and then maybe if we can split, you know, we got like four games here. If we can split that, you know, steal a mm-hmm. win here, whatever, mm-hmm. then we're in good shape. When you're sitting there looking at that point and you're going, well, this doesn't look good. We're 2-4 and you got these teams flying. I like that. I feel like the SFL media has not really touched on you guys as much as maybe they should, because you've been on a real tear.
Yeah, I think I'll give props to Tyler. Tyler's really kind of jumped on the, I don't want to say the bandwagon, because I don't think we've got enough support to have a bandwagon at the minute. It's more of a tandem. but he's kind of, you know, been championing us, and he's And to be fair to him, he's owned up to the fact that he thought that we were going to come bottom of the division and didn't have much kind of in the tank, which, judging on last season, potentially rookie quarterback coming in.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of understand it, but then even at 2-4, we had belief, you know what I mean? We believed that we could turn it around. And all I've got to say is that the coaching, the scouts, so if I miss anyone, I am sorry, but the because we've got so many people who do good things, mm-hmm. the scouting from Doug Britton and Scott Johnson is invaluable, and they're both excellent at what they do, really knowledgeable. Both I know Scott's involved in coaching, I think, in the minor league as well. It's either that or it's another league, like, you know, like the WFA or one of these other sort of leagues.
Either way, he's getting experience.
He's getting, and they're scouting, and then we've got, you know, Bovine. He's obviously come in to help with the offense, and he's added a new flavor and some new ideas to, and you can tell that we've got a lot more going to tight ends, strangely enough. This season, but it's helped, you know, sure. Makes the big catches, and then John, I don't know, John's just got the John and Tony, I think Tony's had to juggle a lot of things this season, but he's still been committed to coaching, and especially on the defense. Tony's defensive setup was kind of set in stone anyway, so that was kind of, that just needs a bit of adjusting here or there. But John with the offense is just he's had the bit between his teeth. He's really, really sort of putting the effort in to make this winning run, and at the minute we're just reaping the fruits of their labor at the minute, which
is great.
You know, I did my job in the off season assembling the team, the locker rooms bouncing, players that potentially were a bit quieter, even when things weren't going well, they were more vocal. They were getting behind the team, and at the minute, the team atmosphere is just at an all-time high. So, bring on Denver in on Saturday.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. I was going to say, mentioning something or other. You mentioned Tyler. Yes. Okay, so he was wrong about Atlanta, but they've certainly dropped off a little bit, haven't they?
I kind of think that he's wrong about the record, 2-10. I mean, that was a bit hyperbolic, shall we say.
Right.
But if they miss the playoffs, you might as well be 2-10. So, you know, you're still in the same position as a 2-10 team, mm-hmm. except your draft position's a bit worse. So
yeah.
You know, is not wrong in a sense that they have struggled more this season. Dynasty's had a down year, he's had a bit of a sophomore slump. Mm-hmm. So, that prediction is a kind of a miss, but not too far off the mark.
No, it's not. Well, and I'm not going to dunk on Atlanta too much for 5-6.
They could still do it.
Yeah.
They could still do it.
Yeah.
Probably one of the more interesting divisions in the SFL, I think, at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Tulsa and St. Louis vying for the Tulsa and St. Louis vying for that's a big game, actually. If we segue into week 12,
yes,
that is one of the big ones, one of the must sees, I think.
So many good ones to watch. That one the loser of that could be out, couldn't they? Let's look at this.
They're both 6-5. Tulsa and St. Louis are both 6-5, but I think the loser of that is, I think it's all or nothing for them.
It could be, because right now St. Louis is at 12. If they drop it all, they're out.
Is Tulsa even in?
Tulsa's at 9. The wild card away.
So it could well be that Tulsa might still survive if they lose, but St. Louis, I think it's all or nothing for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Atlanta's chances of making it are extremely slim. Extremely.
Who do they have this week?
They play Louisiana.
Okay. Okay.
Which yeah, I think isn't it all divisional games this week?
Yeah. Like Lone Star has Fort Worth, big one for us. Fort Worth is in. You know, they're not going to be out no matter what happens. I don't know. We're currently sitting at 10th, and I don't know. In the tiebreakers, we've got division winners over non-division winners. I don't know exactly what that means. Common games. It's got those in the tiebreakers.
It goes head to head, and then after head to head, so whatever the head to head is, then it goes to if they're a division winner or not, I think.
Okay.
And they, because obviously all division winners need to make it, so you could technically still have a 5-7 division winner who will make the playoffs.
Okay.
But obviously that's not the case, but it could be.
We do have a couple of wins that would help. I mean, beating Florida would help us. Because it looks like they are going to win that division. Because Jacksonville, should have put my phone on mute. Jacksonville can't catch them, so Florida's won that division. So that's going to look good for us.
Just staying with Lone Star a second. Okay. Did you guys beat Houston, or did Houston beat you?
Houston beat us. Yeah.
So on a head-to-head, they would have, because Houston's the interesting one where they still got two games left, and they could go 7-5 still.
Right.
They could still go 7-5, and if you guys lose to Fort Worth, which I know you're at home, but it is a distinct possibility.
Of course it is. Yeah.
if you guys lose to that insanely good defense, then I don't know. I mean, I know. Dave was saying last night, Dave Axis, that it's, you know, Lone Star does own a lot of tiebreakers, but clearly you haven't clinched, so clearly there is a chance that, you know, things could go south, and that's what makes the South so interesting, is because the Houston does have that extra game still to play.
Mm-hmm. Definitely makes a difference. And it would be, you know, obviously personally, I'd feel sad for the team if we didn't make, we've made some growth since last season. But yeah, I think that's true. That loss to Houston is going to weigh heavily on us, especially if they go 7-5, if they finish 7-5. And they've got London is the makeup game. And then I guess they've got Mexico City. They must, because everything.
Mexico City. Yeah. So, and Mexico City will be wanting to win that game to give them a best chance of a home playoff game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think I'll personally be rooting for Houston, because that'll help Vegas to potentially advance further in the seedings. But
I got that. Yeah.
That's tough. I don't know. It's with these late season games, and with some of the results we've been getting, it's tough to pick a winner. Especially with these close ones.
Well,
the South's really been a dogfight.
Yeah, yeah, it has. I mean, I'm rooting for you, obviously, but I'm going to abstain from rooting for Houston for obvious reasons as well. I know it benefits you guys, but one, it's Houston, and I never root for them. Yes, I'm going on record as saying that. I'm never going to root for them, but also they're in our division and we need, you know, but it is interesting. We got a lot of, I wish that I had the teams. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can see everybody here.
I think one thing in the South that's been a somewhat of a surprise, and I think that a lot of people may have not predicted, is the, not necessarily Fort Worth winning the division, but Fort Worth winning quite convincingly. You know, that it's not like you've got three teams that are all on 6-6 or 7-5 who are tied for the first position. Fort Worth have gone 8-3. I'm not entirely sure what their divisional record is, but I presume it's pretty good.
I believe so.
They've really sort of shown that out. And to be honest, when you've got Hacker and Nacho, who did so well with Queen City Private previously, you know, they've got pedigree. So,
I'm sure you remember they had a great defense last season as well. Their defense was very good. And yes, so they've merely continued. I also think that they played the two. We saw some teams commit to the two tight end offense, and I think they played it a little bit better than a couple of the other teams that made the adjustment, Atlanta being one of them, even though Atlanta's record isn't terrible. I thought that was a good move for them, though. They didn't use their third wide receiver nearly as much last season. And and obviously that was Cam Curtis who moved over to quarterback anyway. I thought that was a good move for them, bringing in Lauren to replace the third wide receiver. I think they're a tough matchup.
Yeah, oh yeah, and towards the end of the show, we'll talk about kind of the playoff potential matchups and who would be tough to like play in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But the Aztecs I presume they're going to make it with 7 wins. Make it again.
Yeah,
once again, the Aztecs just make the playoffs. That is what they do.
Yeah,
what they do. One other big game, which is a divisional clincher, maybe not in terms of there's not as much riding on this as the St. Louis Tulsa game, because I think it's a bit less of like losing out, winning in. But LA versus Vancouver for the division.
Well, I was going to ask, because if LA loses that, Vancouver wins the division, but LA is 6-6, could they potentially be out of the playoffs?
Yes, they could. Vancouver I think Vancouver still clinched.
I think 7 wins.
So yeah. So it's a bit different than the Tulsa St. Louis game, but LA, if they lose, which, to be honest, for their first season, I know they've been kind of an amalgamation of the sum of Carolina, Vegas, and Chicago, but
right.
To gel together and push Vancouver all the way, who everyone kind of seems to be riding the Vancouver train, and I think they are a very good team, but potentially that offense masks a few things.
Mm-hmm.
To be pushing them to the final game where, you win the game and you win the division instead of Vancouver, I think that'll be pretty impressive. I would be impressed with Tom and Rochelle to sort that out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and likewise, Vancouver, if they win that one, they're going to finish with the same record that we had my rookie season, and we got one game from the championship with that team. This is a good team. I agree with you. I think the offense is the can mask thing. They're just so explosive. They can be just so explosive, but they also can be kind of the Achilles heel, although they've done a better job with that this season. That would be interesting.
Yeah,
It would be a shame to see Los Angeles be out if they lost that game, because I feel like that's a pretty quality team.
But. Yes. Yeah, I feel like LA, on that day, I think LA can beat anyone.
Yep.
It's just that they've had some quite puzzling losses, and I think that might just be down to the fact that this is their first season, really. It's a bit of a learning curve. And especially what's been nice to see in that division, which they're not going to trouble the playoffs, but Portland doing much better.
Haven't they? Yes.
Yeah.
They don't
especially towards the end of this season.
Yeah, I don't recall. Do they have any blowout losses? I feel like they've been competitive. There's probably missing, but
their net points over the season. So if you weigh up the points for them and then the points they've conceded, is only -21. So it's only it's only 3 scores basically.
Mm-hmm.
Over the whole season, and if they play San Diego well this weekend and beat San Diego, that could even erase, because at Portland at home against San Diego, I can see them beating them by more than 21 points.
Right.
I could also see San Diego causing an upset, because they have been better in the last few weeks. But mm-hmm. Portland behind Ezekiel Love, who's been an absolute shining light.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's third in rushing at the minute.
Something like that, yeah.
Behind him, they've had a much better season. So if they beat San Diego and go 5-7, then fair play. I mean, and they're in good position to challenge for a playoff place next season.
Yep. Love that. Love seeing that. As is true with virtually every team in the league, there's a lot of people on Portland that are friends. that I root for. You know, that's true for all of us. We've got friends on nearly every team.
Yeah.
But I like seeing Portland do well. And I would say, you mentioned Ezekiel Love, I would say there's an argument to be made that he was the free agent move of the offseason, bringing him over like that.
Potentially. If you think about impact to a team.
Yeah.
Actual tangible impact on a team. I'd have to look at the all the moves from last season, but that he would be definitely up there.
Yeah.
Considering they moved Truesman to fullback, did they? Which was, I think, is probably a good move. I think for Portland, without I'm sure we can do another show on this and potentially in the off season, but I think just an early take for me is for Portland to move to the next level, they potentially need to invest in a different quarterback.
Could be. I haven't looked at Matt's build that close. I know. I mean, he's a pre progression era guy, isn't he? So I don't know. I don't know what he's got going on.
Yes. There. Yeah. He came. He returned.
I remember he had an animation that nobody else had. Maybe it was last season. I was like, oh, well, that's interesting.
Was it pass? It was. I forgot.
Pass threat. Pass threat. Yeah.
It was, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
If we look at his, I think he's been better this season. I mean, I'm looking at the QBR and he's, you know, he's not. I think last season he was bottom for QBR. This season he's been better, but still only 11 touchdowns, 20 interceptions, 67.7 QBR. It's, you know, it's his accuracy's been decent with 65%, but if you look at the rookies that have come in. Every QB that's come in as a rookie has outperformed him. If you look at over in Vegas, Colin Pierce, 22 pass touchdowns. If we look at JQ, 17. We've got Christian Brown with 15, but his QBR is much higher, 10 points higher. So, you know, it might, if I was Portland, I'd be seriously considering replacing South with a rookie coming through from the SFLM, especially if one performs particularly well this season.
Certainly an argument for that. Yeah.
What do you think the next step for San Diego is?
San Diego
going forward into season 17, because I mean, Portland are improving. LA are very tough. Vancouver have got a high-powered offense. You know, it's going to be. I think even next season, it's going to be a stiff test.
Yeah, I think so. And it's not going to get any easier. The path isn't going to get any easier for them. When I look at I'm still on that, I promise. But when I look at the entire league, I don't see very many teams that don't have the potential to trend up dramatically. I mean, obviously there's some that are already very good. There's only so good they're going to get, you know, but the gulf is quite high. Coaching is hard. Okay. And we're seeing,
yeah,
struggle, and going to legendary has made it a little bit difficult. Some teams have adapted better than others. San Diego's needs to up their coaching game. I think Liam Hammer taking over their defense has been good for them. Liam's done a good job. I worked with Liam at Lone Star, and he's very comfortable with the defense. I think he's pretty good, and I think their defense has been better since Liam has done that. Their offense is, it's easy to see it coming. And I think they need some help there. Now Jalen Wells ought to be more of an effect, you know, that fullback to running back transition always takes a season. Hopefully they've handled his progression in that area well, and he's ready to be solid. You know, so there's a few things there, but I think San Diego needs to revamp their offense. And it starts with the coaching. It doesn't start with the players. It starts with the coaching. They've got players in place to do the work.
Oh yeah, the players are good. The players are decent. The players are decent. I mean, they've, it is, it, it, like I say, it's just it does start with that. I guess the confidence in the coaching and the experience. I mean, because if you just look at the net points, so we've mentioned Portland's minus 21. So again, this is points four measured against the points that they've conceded. Minus 190 for San Diego, which is nearly 20 a game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 50 off 20 a game, so it's about 17 potentially a game difference. Yeah. The nearest to them is minus 104. So that's a difference of 86. Mm-hmm. And that's Sioux Falls, who we know struggled mightily this season. Mm-hmm. Then you look at the rest of the league. Next after that is minus 71. So the difference between Sioux Falls and San Diego is larger than the rest of the teams in minus points. In terms of how many they have, it's tough.
Yeah.
I think games. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Just got to notice.
You were going to say sorry.
Well, I just got to say. I just got to notice my internet connection is unstable, so we may have some technical difficulties and have to pick it back up. Yeah, I think that's what San Diego needs to make the next step. You know, it's just I think that you got to make sure your builds are right, especially even more so with Legendary. You got to make sure your builds are right. I think some deficiencies in some certain areas are more glaring now with the Legendary settings. And then coaching, I still say an awful lot of teams need to embrace this as 1970s football. Okay, if you're slinging it a lot, you're going to have a lot of turnovers. I think if teams would do a little more of a ball control and be willing to move the ball down the field that way, we'd have some really interesting results. And I think some teams could make a big jump. And I just think San Diego needs to make a change there. Like I said, coaching is hard. I'm not gonna be too harsh on a guy for maybe not quite getting it quite right yet, but needs the experience. And
run parallels with to San Diego. Move to the North Division and DC. How do you find that DC have fared? Obviously, win to loss ratio is better. They've won three games. Mm-hmm. Have you been impressed with DC? Have they done better than you thought they might have done?
I felt like DC did a good job, and I think we should have expected it. Obviously, Destro's got a lot of experience. Mullinax has got a lot of experience. We knew they had some guys there. They had so many rookies that you just had a feeling as the progressions were coming along, you were going to see more and more of a tighter product on the field, so to speak.
Yeah. And if you looked at their roster, at the start of the season, you'd probably say that San Diego had the edge roster wise over DC, especially at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. But it shows you how important experience coaching is. Mm-hmm. The fact that, I mean, DC aren't even bottom of their division. I mean, Queen City are below them. So,
right.
You know, it really, really shows you that the guys at the top are so important to the success of your team.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And they made some good moves. And it's funny. I mean, people talked about the two running back thing. They were surprised by that. I didn't feel so bad about it. Even if they were sort of playing a roster spot down all season, I don't know how much Destro's running back has been on the field. I know he was on the field very briefly against us because Evan Lacy knocked Kevin Say out of the game, but the game was already in hand when that happened. Kevin's had a fantastic season. They've used him very well, but, yeah, DC's mm-hmm. been fun to watch. I've watched mm-hmm. almost every DC game.
I suppose I've watched almost none. So this is a nice nice kind of parallel. We're a good team, you see. So the games that clearly the games I watch are the ones that you potentially miss, and then mm-hmm. the ones that you watch are the ones that I definitely will have missed, because I know you watch a hell of a lot more than I do. If I'm sort of studying, giving opinions about teams and stuff, it's not a good look, is it, for me to say that I don't watch that many games? But when you've got the knowledge, coach, you know, you don't need to do too much studying.
Well, okay, you're on the other side of the world too. It's just kind of hard to pull together. I have not watched as many games this season as I have in the past. In the past, I've watched virtually every game. Part of the thing is, a lot of people know I've been coaching high school football, and out here in Oregon, we got to do everything weird. Yes. So we've got our last game this week, tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and so that has taken up.
I love how when I asked you that. I love how the other day when I said about my dad asked about how your team were doing, you assumed it was the high school one.
I know.
I was like, coach, he doesn't know anything about that. He knows about the SFL and he knows you're on loan stuff. It made me laugh.
Haven't been doing a whole lot of coaching for Lone Star in the last few weeks, so you know. Should I have held that out loud? Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. It's out there. By the time this drops,
this gets out.
Yeah, I might as well mention there's a couple of changes coming up. Cam Curtis may throw up his hands and say, "Dude, I'm done with it." But we're going to have to change our Epic Esports intro, because Coach's Corner is no longer going to be coming from Oregon. It's going to be coming from Oklahoma. On Monday, I'm hopping on the train and I'm moving to Oklahoma. So that's going to change things up a little bit.
Is there something about states that begin with O, or is that just
a coincidence? It's a coincidence. It's about moving to a state that had a job I couldn't say no to. So here we are. It's funny. I've been in Oregon for over 40 years, most of my life.
So, wow.
Yeah. So it's going to be, it'll be a change.
I wish I could say something interesting about Oklahoma, but the only thing I know about it is the fact that there's a musical named after it.
So, yes. Where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
That's it.
Waving wheat conjures mouth. Yeah. This is probably poor citizenship considering I'm going there. That's probably the bulk of what Oklahoma's famous for. So you're okay. You're on track.
The Thunder.
Yeah, I'm looking
for Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oklahoma City Thunder, yeah. Yeah. Oklahoma Sooners in football, Oklahoma State Cowboys. They're going to be a little confused when I have my Oregon Duck stuff, but, you know, just going to have to forget.
What's a Sooner? What is that?
Well, the Oklahoma, you had the land rush, Oklahoma land rush, and it's to do with that. It's to do with getting, you had people that were leaving early and whatnot. So,
So if you get somewhere early or leave early, you're a Sooner.
I guess that's how that works exactly. I actually have to go back into it. I'll have to pull out my notes and look. I was never that fascinated with Oklahoma. I was curious about the Oregon Trail.
You guys. Honestly, you've just got the English language on a spit, and you just got this machete butchering away at it, aren't you? You're just hacking into the language, making up words like Sooner.
Well, we say them wrong. We say them wrong too, don't we? Aluminum. We say aluminum.
Aluminum, yeah.
You say aluminium.
Yeah, aluminum. Yeah, I think because of how it's spelled, it should be aluminium.
Aluminium
just misses letters out. Herbs. The fact that some people, it seems, don't say the H in herbs just really confuses me.
There is an H in it, isn't there? Yeah. But
it's not even, yeah, and it's not even a question of being a silent H.
Over here, Herb is a guy. Don't you have anyone named Herb over there?
Yeah.
It's a name.
No, because
short for
because
Herbert.
There might be a Herbert, but to be fair, I used to teach a kid called Herbie.
So, okay.
But to be honest, if the bullying of children called Herbert would probably have stopped people naming the name of the child Herbert.
We've cut that off by differentiating between a person and a spice or something to flavor your food with. I know it's thin. It's thin.
It's thin. You are?
No, I'm all right. I just said I was just laughing because my phone just went off. My phone can tell we weren't talking about the SFL anymore. Okay.
Before we go back to the SFL, one interesting fact about names is the fact that in the UK last year there were only 12 Nigels born. Nigel is a name that's dying out.
Really? I had a cat named Nigel once.
Only 12.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a cat named Nigel once. Yeah.
Out of the potential millions of babies born in the UK last year, only 12 were named Nigel.
Do you know what the most popular one was?
Just a fact. Oh, it's probably something like, I don't know, it'd be a double barrel name. working in a school now, everyone has a name and then J on the end or Lee on the end or something like that.
Really?
They would have a perfectly normal name that everyone knows, and then for whatever reason the name J is stuck onto it with a hyphen, and or with a girl. Often it's Lee, like Tori. But no, we can't just have Tori. Tori Lee. There we go. That makes it better, apparently.
Okay.
No offense to anyone who's listening whose daughter, or even if they are called Tori Lee, I'm not throwing too much shade.
Just my middle name
to the office and change that name.
Yeah, my middle name is actually Lee, and I'm not offended at all. So I think you're safe.
That's a middle name. That's not your. That's not
true.
Lumbered on with your first name. It's not Brian Lee, is it? Like Brian hash Brian hyphen Lee.
Right. Good point. Yes.
If you were born now, that would be your name with a hyphen in the middle.
That seems a little posh for me.
to be fair, I do teach a child called Brian.
Oh.
He's only 5 years old.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is he a Monty Python fan?
And he's about as crazy as the guys are in Monty Python.
Really?
He's also got a similar. He's extremely blonde, so he's got a similar hair color to you as well.
Wow. Okay.
Like that silvery kind of blonde.
Yeah.
With his brains, I imagine he will be a leech to society with unemployment. I have faith. I've got faith in it. Could you imagine if all teachers were as cynical as me? Christ.
They are. Come on. You remember, I've worked in education for a good deal of my life. They are.
Yeah, the staff room is a funny place, man.
We've got this, and I don't care if anyone hears it. We've got this gorgeous younger woman that takes photographs of the football games for the school. She's like the volleyball coach or something else. And I say younger, she's like in her 30s. That's younger than me.
I was gonna say we're not gonna get a lawsuit here.
No, not that kind of thing. But she's really cute. So she talks to me a lot during the games. I'm not calling the offense or the defense or anything. So I've got a lot more free time. I'm over there, you know, I'm on the headset going, "Hey coach, time to blitz," you know, things like that. And so we were talking the other day, and, it was during a timeout, and, you know, we were kind of laughing a little bit. And at one point I looked, and I was kind of in front of her camera, and I said, "Oh, sorry, you don't want me in that picture." And she goes, "Sure I do." And she goes and takes a picture. She, by the way, I don't think we've been introduced, blah, blah, blah. We go through all that. So now we're talking the whole time. And the kids are back there going, "Coach Craven's over here flirting, you know, giving me kind of a hard time."
Hey, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and one of them, I was like, dude,
sliding into the photo.
Yeah. I'm not dead yet. Of course I'm flirting. we were laughing because somebody in the, somebody in the stands yelled block for him. You know, one of our guys got obliterated on a sweep, and somebody yelled block for him. And she goes, I'll bet you hear all kinds of good advice from the stand, don't you? And I'm like, oh yeah. It's like, I'm going to incorporate blocking into my next offense. That's revolutionary. And then I said to her, I said, you know, there's a saying among coaches about the best team to coach. And she goes, oh, what's that? And I was like, it's a team of orphans. And she looked at me for a minute and she's like, because of no parents. Right. I'm like, exactly. Team of orphans. That's the dream. And she bust out laughing. Again, kids are standing behind me going, really?
You charming old dog.
I have to be charming. My looks are gone. My looks are gone.
Well, I mean, you know, if she's just before we get back to the stuff, if she's single, 6 foot tall, then, you know, just let her know. Just let her know that there is someone you know.
She is single.
And that description.
Yeah. She's lovely. She's got two younger ones. She's got two younger ones. Infant family. Just something to consider.
Yeah, I can just teach them some British swear words and then we'll be all good.
There we go. All right. Circling back. We're gonna circle back to the league. Where are we
yes.
here?
Where are yes.
we? What so other week? Place. What other week? I mean, obviously we got Vice Wars. That's going to be a fun game. That's always a fun game.
Yes. We'll skirt over Vice Wars because we know it's going to be great. So
there we go.
I think in terms of week 12 games at this point, let me see. So what divisions have we not? So we've looked to the east. We've looked to the north briefly, mm-hmm. and obviously we've got London with a very, very outside chance.
Yep. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see London get in. That'd be great.
Florida and Jacksonville are already in. Florida have won that division. Charleston and Carolina play each other and they're both out. So that's a bore. The Atlantic is probably the most boring division at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of potential, what could happen. Arizona could sneak in with a big win at Sioux Falls. I think that's the only other kind of game mm-hmm. that has any bearing on potential playoff places. So mm-hmm. I think we've kind of exhausted week 12, and I think yep. I don't know if we wanted to wrap it up soon, but I mean the one thing that I think I wanted to speak to you about is looking forward to the playoffs. So obviously, you know, mm-hmm. we've got teams that are already in, who have clinched, and teams that we'll probably get there, but haven't clinched yet. Is there a team that you think that nobody else, if you were a coach of one of these teams, is there a team that you think nobody else will want to play at this point in time?
I'm going to throw out Baltimore, Florida, and Denver, because those at this point are no-brainers. Florida is, Florida's, they're playing very well. They're kind of under the radar a little bit, which is silly.
You do say that, but they have been top of the power rankings for the last 3 weeks, I think. So
yeah, I know. I was about to say this, a little bit of a reach.
They're not too under far the under the radar.
No. Obviously Denver, best record in the league.
That's a fat radar.
Yeah. Yeah. If you guys beat Denver, then Denver and Florida could potentially have the same record. Okay. So yeah, that's a mm-hmm. not very much. I think this is a pretty obvious one. Nobody's going to want to play Vancouver because you know, so many weapons, so many points possible to be scored. They do generate a lot of turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They make you into the worst version of yourself a lot. Likewise, Fort Worth, obviously, with that amazing defense. It's the other side.
For kind of the opposite reason, yeah.
Exactly.
Then I almost feel like for those two teams, and then this is a slightly different topic, but their biggest strength is kind of also their biggest weakness mm-hmm. in the sense that if Fort Worth find a team where they can score maybe more than 30 points on them, much like Vegas did in week 7 or 8,
mm-hmm.
Their offense hasn't been really good enough to combat that.
Yeah.
You know, they the other side of the ball hasn't been. They score on average, they score 25 points a game, mm-hmm. which, you know, again, if a team scores more than that, then they could well be struggling. With Vancouver, if their offense gets stifled and can't get going, then their defense, whilst fairly, I guess, quite you know, not a bad defense, against the best teams, is that where someone like Vancouver becomes unstuck?
It could. I think the difference, however, is that Vancouver has the potential, even in a game like that, to score on one play. And obviously anyone can do that, but Fort Worth, you're less likely to worry about that happening. But it is true. It is true. And it's true of both of them. If Fort Worth is in a shootout, historically, we're looking at it, they're not as equipped to play in a shootout. Vancouver not in a grinded out. And Vancouver actually had a kind of a grinded out game recently, I believe, that they lost. So possible. I'm going to also say, and that I think Vegas is a team that people ought to be afraid to play, because you've been on a good roll and momentum, you know, momentum is funny in this thing, because we're not, because our league isn't in a league file that carries things over. You know what I mean? Like if you were playing it just yourself on the game. So it's every game is a one-off. Technically. So there's not really a momentum thing going on there, but you guys we've seen teams get hot and get going, and your coaches are in a good space. The stuff they're doing is working. And once you start to get your playbook dialed in, then it's kind of a work of art and it gets rolling. So you guys would scare me. Los Angeles would scare me. Because they can go off. They've had some very brilliant games. They've had some. Sully's had some turnovers.
Yeah, I was going to say Los Angeles.
Yeah. Jacksonville, always tough. We beat them earlier in the season, but that's a tough team. And we caught Jacksonville. We did something they didn't anticipate. If they had anticipated, the result could have been different.
Yeah, yeah.
Tulsa. You know, I said last season, I thought Tulsa could go 4-8. They could go 8-4. They just have the weapons there that if they put it together, it can be quite a team. And so I'm about to just name every team in the playoffs if I keep going, but there's something to be concerned about.
What I should have said is we should go through the strengths and weaknesses of every potential playoff team.
Which I just kind of started doing, didn't I?
Yeah. I was going to... I was going to say with Lone Star as well, because I'd be almost scared to play Lone Star, because judging on the evidence of this season, you just never know which Lone Star you're going to get. You could get Lone Star that catches Florida cold and absolutely creams them, or Lone Star that loses at home to DC.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it seems like you never know which Lone Star you're going to get, and the best version of Lone Star can beat anyone. So
I would agree with that.
Nervy team.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That would be nervous play.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll tell you that offensively, I don't think Greg's afraid to try anything. So you may not be able to predict this. With that regard, and our defense, when they get going, it's like we'll get a flurry of turnovers and then all of a sudden it goes from there. If we don't do that, then it's not so great sometimes. But yeah, I agree. I think Lone Star, that's a very good analysis. Which version of us you get could create a problem for you. A perfect example is our two games with Mexico City. One of them, we laid an egg and kind of got dominated. And then the other one, we did pretty doggone well. And so which one are you going to get?
Yeah, I think we haven't touched on Mexico City really much, and we haven't mentioned them yet. But again, they're just they beat us last season, and they're just a team that knows. I feel like when the chips are down, they haven't made it to the top tier of the playoffs, you know, the final for a long time. But they're always just a hard out. They're that batter in baseball that just keeps hitting on foul balls until they find a perfect one. Mm-hmm. To hit the home run, and they I've been really impressed with their running game. The amount of touchdowns Phoenix Jones has scored is pretty unprecedented. And they've, you know, really kind of basically making the decision to keep him there and not put Bentley back has really worked out. The Mexico City are again. I think they're more consistent than Lone Star. I know Lone Star beat them the other, and I think Mexico City are one of those teams where their ceiling isn't the highest, but their floor is probably not as low as a lot of teams that would make playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's a good take. I think you're right. When with regard to the running game, we started to see that at the tail end of last season, didn't we? Phoenix had like a couple of like really big games, right at the end, maybe the last two games. Yeah. Makes them really tough.
The big thing will be for those teams that make it through the wild card round is the then you've got to travel to somewhere like Denver or somewhere like Baltimore or somewhere like Florida. You know what I mean? It doesn't get any easier, these playoffs don't. And even if we beat Denver in week 12 and if we went against them again in the playoffs, I'd be thinking this is a totally different game.
Right.
Totally different game.
Right.
Stopping McChesney is just, that should be the main focus. But then you think, well, they just have a spine of quality through that team. It's hard to match. It's very hard to match. And I don't know. To me, it might take a team like Florida to beat Denver. And if their seedings are correct, I imagine they would only ever meet in the final.
I think you're right.
In the championship game.
Yeah. Yeah. Has Fort Worth played them? I think that could be an interesting matchup.
The one team that beat them was Houston. Houston beat them quite handily away.
Right.
And that was when and Houston were really flying high and they hadn't had this drop off there. I was quite surprised. It was weird. I was surprised to see Houston playing so well. Mm-hmm. But then I've also been surprised at the drop off. The fact that they're 5-5 with some of the games they played and how well they played. When they played us, they played shockingly well against us. I was really impressed with their week 4. We thought we were gonna, our schedule had to be rearranged from playing Florida to play in Houston.
And oh, yeah.
Oh, great. Great. This is great news. And then Houston come and whooped us. So if Houston make the playoffs, which they could with a 7-5 record, if Houston make the playoffs and then they have that sort of best version of themselves, they could be another team that you just would not want to play.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Warren Murray, we both of us have talked about Warren Murray plenty of times.
If he plays well, they play well.
Yeah. They play well. But, yeah, they've got receivers. They've got that quarterback that is a suspect. But, you know, they've got players. They've obviously got players. And, yeah, that would be a scary team in the playoffs. That would be a team that you'd be like, which one am I going to get? They could. This is also the team that gave up 70 to Vancouver last season. So, you know, which team is it going to be?
Is it Houston? They've got the two really good rookie cornerbacks in Swift and Ragler Law. Yeah. So, I mean, even there, they've kind of invested well in that way. And as much as for whatever you want to say about Houston and the kind of the way they've acquired their coaches, they've got a lot of experience.
Yep. Can't argue with that. Can't argue with that. So, yeah, I overlooked them a little bit when I was sitting there talking about teams. But there is something. If you were to lay down money, wildly early prediction right here, you think the Final Four is going to be Denver, Florida, Fort Worth, and Baltimore?
Do you want to stop stealing my questions? I was literally going to ask you the same thing.
That's why great minds think alike. Yes, I think so, to answer.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I was going to say just who would make the final, but you've gone full on hard question. So can you just remind me of the teams? So you've got Florida, Baltimore.
Fort Denver. Worth. Yeah, and Denver. You know what? Let's make it interesting. Which one of those four is most likely not to be in the Final Four?
So to get into the Final Four, they need to win one. If they made that first round bye, because Baltimore could still miss the first round bye,
right?
True. They could still miss that. We'll just presume they do. We'll presume they make that. I think Denver will make it. I think they're too much of a juggernaut at home, especially. I think Florida will. They just know how to win games. Baltimore are the previous champions, but have seemed a bit ropey on some occasions this season, especially against the best teams. Fort Worth, I think because of reasons already mentioned, I would say Fort Worth. I feel like depending on who their opponent is, Fort Worth have got more of a chance of their offense not scoring enough points in case, well, to cover a bad defensive performance, put it that way. I think as much as they've only lost three games, I think if there's going to be a time where a team's going to exploit the fact that they rely so heavily on the defense, it's going to be in the playoffs. Whereas if you look at like Denver, it could happen, but I feel like it's much less likely for Denver to just suffer a shock defeat. And they've got Kramer Jackman, who can kick the ball from 70 yards, it seems. You've got Florida, who I've watched quite a bit of this season, and I just think that they've got a game plan that can beat pretty much anyone. Other than maybe one of those teams that would already be in the Final Four. And then I think the reason it was between Baltimore and Fort Worth for me, and I think Baltimore, with the pedigree in the playoffs, they won it last season. They've been in this position multiple times, especially compared to Fort Worth. I think if the game doesn't quite go their way, there's just something about Baltimore that gives me more faith that they would find a way to win. So I'm going to go with Fort Worth. But again, it's very close between them and Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same. What do you think?
I follow that logic. I do think that Baltimore has shown some cracks, but it's funny. We thought that last year. You know, remember they had that week one loss. You know, they had that week one loss to Atlanta. And they just, you know, they weren't the number one seed going in. They went to Denver. Still one of my favorite games as a fan to watch. That playoff game against Denver was just it was quite a game. Similar to me
with that first game against Atlanta. Bright Dynasties as an opening performance, as a coming out party stay on just four touchdowns, no picks. That was in one of the best QB performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. And so I'm sitting here feeling like Baltimore has shown some cracks. And then I think, well, they did last year. And so I can see that there. Having said that, I think I have a little more faith in Fort Worth. I don't know. I just there's a feeling about it. This is unscientific. I just have a feeling that I could see Baltimore still faltering somehow, especially if they don't lock down that first round bye.
And obviously it depends who makes it through to that second round and who would play these teams. I think my decision might also be quite clouded by the fact that we went to Fort Worth and beat them this season. So from my perspective, we've seen that can happen. We haven't played Baltimore, so.
Yeah, well, and that could change completely. Agreed. My perspective on them could change after our game. You know, I could look at them and say, oh, okay, no, they're actually more vulnerable than I think. If we put up a good game against them, heck, if we do like we did against them last season. Like I said, we swept them last season, and it was kind of unexpected the way it happened, but it went well. And that would change my perspective. And when you look at this, there's four teams behind them sitting at 7-4, sitting behind Baltimore at 7-4. We could be looking at we could be looking at six teams sitting at 8. Well, no, a couple of those. No. Yeah. All of those. None of those 7-4 teams. Like if Fort Worth were to lose to us, they'd be 8-4. Baltimore wins, they're 8-4. Vancouver, Jacksonville, Mexico City, and you, none of those guys are playing each other. You could have six teams sitting at 8-4. That muddies those waters significantly.
The weird and exciting thing for me is if we beat Denver, which again, very long shot, we go 8-4.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico City loses to Houston and goes 7-5. Vancouver loses to LA and goes 7-5. Jacksonville loses to Florida and goes 7-5. And Baltimore loses to DC and goes 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas makes that top four and finish on bye.
Yeah.
Which considering six games in,
yeah,
that would just be fantastic.
I'm rooting for that now. I'm rooting for it now.
I mean, to be honest, us beating Denver is at Denver. It's even if we'd won the last eight, it would be a long shot. Because Denver are just so good.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can see Houston beating Mexico City. I can see LA beating Vancouver, and I can see Florida beating Jacksonville. The big one will be if DC can pull off a win against Baltimore. That'd be the thing,
right?
Right. So, and then actually, that would also take us to if you guys beat Fort Worth and made them go 8-4, we have the tiebreaker over Fort Worth. We could even be the third seed.
Yeah,
which would be insane. But I'm just talking dreamland right now. Just talking absolute dreamland.
It's kind of fun though. It's fun to think about. That would I love me some muddy waters when it comes to the playoffs. that'd be
fun. Ooh, I've just noticed before we go.
Yeah.
I've just noticed that. Remember when we used to talk about what we did and the who you got?
Yeah.
It's just gone live. So I'm thinking we could just on air right now just pick our teams.
Pick our who you got. Verbally and, okay.
Yeah, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick DC.
You are.
I'm going to pick Florida. Yes, because they need to win for us to complete that. They need to win for us to complete that magic. Somehow get to the three seed. I'm going to pick Florida to beat Jacksonville, even though it's in Jacksonville. I'm going to pick Atlanta at Louisiana. I'm fighting for the lives. As much as I love Ross and a lot of people in Louisiana, I'm going to go with Atlanta. I'm going to pick Houston to beat Mexico City because I need them to. I'm going to pick Arizona at Sioux Falls as well. Two teams that haven't played yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Sioux Falls at home.
Ooh.
Atlanta went into Arizona and gave them a real hiding. Arizona are one of those teams, actually, that is a Vegas. There's somebody who's played them twice. If they made the playoffs and we had to play them, I would be worried because
100%. They've got a good roster.
They match up very well against us as well.
Mm-hmm.
They beat us fairly handily at home. We just about beat them at our place. So if that game changes and Arizona beats us, this could be a very different playoff scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna pick London to take Queen City. I think.
Okay.
That's more of I kind of want London to do well, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think London have been slightly overrated this season. Granted, I agree that they've shown improvement, massively so. But I don't think they've been as good as they've shown flashes. The consistency just hasn't been there. Mm-hmm. Put it that way. I'm gonna pick Charleston at Carolina. Is probably the most nothing game of the entire week. So it's probably being a rivalry, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna pick Carolina to win at home. I'm gonna pick. I want you guys to beat Fort Worth so we can get a three seed. So you guys are gonna beat Fort Worth at home.
Okay.
even though in my heart of hearts, I don't think it's going to happen. Sorry.
St. Louis and Tulsa.
St. Louis and Tulsa, man. Now, you know, a lot of these shows, I feel like we try and stay fairly neutral on this show.
We try.
We big up our own teams, but, you know, we try and stay fairly neutral. I have always liked St. Louis. I've liked their underdog mentality. I like a lot of the players they've got. I like just the fact that before I started the league and to place things like season 7 and 8, they used to try different things. I think one season they went with no star wide receivers, which has never been replicated. I think they had just generic wide receivers the whole for the whole season. Which is an interesting way of doing things, I'll give them that.
Yes.
Anyway, and to be honest, I don't think they did that bad. I think that was Liam's first coaching gig before London became a thing. Yeah, because that's kind of what the fish and chips rivalry has been born out of. Because Liam used to be in St. Louis. So I'm going to go with, for momentum purposes, I just think Tulsa might do it at home.
Okay.
I think they might just get one too many big plays.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm going to pick Vegas to beat Denver. Really, that's nearly even. People are showing faith in Vegas.
I know, I'm seeing that. That is interesting.
I'm going to pick... because we need them to do this, I'm going to pick LA beating Vancouver, although I think that's going to be very... If they beat Vancouver, it's either going to be Vancouver blows the house off them and wins by a mile, or LA wins by a slim amount. I think it's one of those two things. I think Portland have got enough to beat San Diego at home.
Yeah.
And London... Oh, Houston at London's on there as well. I'm going to pick Houston at London. Now, London beat them, but obviously with fudged playlist. So... Playlists? What am I talking about? Sort of? Playbooks. Sorry, I must be looking at Spotify. You know what? I've got London beating Queen City. I'm going to go with a miracle. London beating Houston.
All right.
Somehow making the playoffs.
All right.
Do you want to very quickly go through yours?
Yes, I will. As much fun as it would be to see DC finish on that note, I think Baltimore is going to get that one. Pick them. Mm-hmm. I think Florida is going to beat Jacksonville. I don't think it's clear cut, but I do think Florida is going to beat Jacksonville this time. I picked Louisiana. They've had some drama. They've had some changes. Big fan of Gerald and Mike, Twin Screw, and Ross, they've just got some guys there that I'm pulling for. Shout out to Will Todd for Atlanta, though. You're my boy, Will. Mexico City and Houston, that's a no-brainer. I'm rooting for Mexico City because I'm always going to root against Houston. Arizona and Sioux Falls. This may come as a shock because I've been such a Sioux Falls guy, but I always root for Arizona unless they're playing us. So I'm picking Arizona. London, yep, London over Queen City. Picking Charleston over Carolina. No feelings there. Picking Lone Star over Fort Worth. Going to be a challenge, but from what I understand, the Sims have been going nice, and so we'll see what happens. St. Louis, I made a policy after I offended their entire team last season by saying they could potentially go winless. I made a policy of not publicly saying bad things about St. Louis. So I'm picking St. Louis. I will admit publicly that my gut is a little nervous about that one, but fortunately I don't have any money riding on it. And then I'm picking you guys over Denver. Nothing personal to Denver. I just want to see. I want to see it happen. I want to see you guys get the third or fourth seed. I think that'd be freaking fantastic. Picking Vancouver over Los Angeles. I agree with you. It could either be a blowout for Vancouver or a squeaker for Los Angeles. I can't root against Vancouver. I played for my rookie season. Of course, I'm going to pick Vancouver. Portland, 100% agree. I may be moving away, but my heart will always be with Oregon. And then rooting for London again against Houston because it's Houston and they can drop dead. Pretty much.
I love how we a minute ago I was like, yeah, we try to be neutral here. We don't have favorites, and all of our reasons were something to do with nothing to do with football. Just out. Other reasons other than anything to do with potential team quality or trend.
Yeah, especially when at this point in the season, you know, I want to see London do well because, you know, I like them. There's guys I like. I want to see London pull it off. You guys, I'm going to root for you guys, you know. Houston, I hate them. Of course I'm going to root against them. It's tough. You just made a good point because we're trying to be unbiased. I'll go ahead and tell you which ones I'm not sure about, even though I picked one way or the other. I think Jacksonville could beat Florida. Jacksonville's a good team. Sioux Falls, if they get that running game rolling, they're going to beat Arizona. Us against Fort Worth is a challenge. So I had to make a few emotional decisions, but go with my heart against my head.
Sometimes you have to, man. Sometimes you have to follow your feelings.
Yep. Yep.
Sometimes a gut feeling is better than overthinking things.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, my gut's gotten me in trouble many times as well, but, you know, hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you know, that was funny, but I chose not to laugh just in case anything was, you know, serious issues that cropped up over the years.
Right. Well, next time we do this, I'm going to be a couple thousand miles closer to you. Not that it's going to make much difference, but.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that'll improve the internet connection. We never know.
That would be nice. That would be nice. In case I didn't mention, I'm actually going to be living with my Bass brother for a while until I find an apartment or a house over there. I'm moving in with Doug Day.
Are you going to be joining the show, maybe?
I don't see why not. If he doesn't, it's because he's being a poop because he's going to be in the next room. So he ought to be able to join it.
I mean, it depends. If you two fall out over who's done the dishes, then maybe, you know.
That's going to be between me and his wife. Yeah.
I'm sure he does not want many things to be between you and his wife.
No. He the other day, he sent me a picture of a closet, an unfinished closet. It didn't have any carpet, just whatever. And he said, your room is ready. And I was just like, I said he was a terrible person. And then he showed it to his wife and she said, what is wrong with you?
Space and furnishings are overrated, coach.
In this couch, and I'm not that tall, but in this closet, I would be sleeping with my feet like up on the wall. It was pretty small. So,
yeah, you know, just, I feel like Japanese homes have probably got rooms that size.
Probably. So. Hey, I'll sleep in the tornado shelter. There we go. That'll work.
Oh, so if there's a tornado that just comes ripping through, then you're golden, aren't you?
Yep. I'll set up my Xbox and everything down there just so that doesn't sail away. I would hate to next season wherever I'm coaching to be like, hey, I'm sorry, I lost my Xbox in a tornado storm. You're gonna have to do the offense.
I actually fell foul before we go. I fell foul of some wind today. I went on a 12-mile hike up in the Peak District, mm-hmm. Which is a hilly mountain range in the UK. And we went to me and my friend James, we went to the highest point. We decided to go to the highest point in the Peaks. And while we were up there, we thought, oh, you know, views are nice. We found a sort of a slightly sheltered spot so we could have some dinner. Got my sandwich box out, ready to open, and had these beautiful peanut butter sandwiches. I know it's like something that a child would eat, but I just love peanut butter.
Hey.
And I was about to take one out, and the wind blew and blew all my sandwiches far away down the hillside.
No.
Oh yeah, yeah. It probably smacked a sheep in the face or something. I don't know. But the sandwiches were a bye-bye on the top of the mountain. So we'd spent maybe 2 hours trekking up there, quite steep. Legs were burning. All I wanted was just something to eat, and I had to settle for it. I think the only other thing I had was like a muesli bar or something dry. That was disappointing.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
Nature, man, nature. Why are we trying to save nature from global warming? I don't know, because it hates us. It absolutely hates us. Nature can do one.
I'll end you with an Oklahoma story that I got yesterday. So I had a little farewell dinner or lunch with some good friends. One of them, Cameron Collier, are the best fullback in the SFL, as I like to say. He's a good buddy of mine that lives out here, in case people didn't know. And then another friend that I've known since high school. She's like my sister. I mean, I love her like a sister. Wonderful person. She lived in Oklahoma for a little while when her husband was in the Army. And she was talking about being in this support group for wives while she was out there. And they were talking about things to do while they were there. And they kept talking about going hiking in the mountains. And my friend Deanna was like, mountains? What mountains? I don't see any mountains. Oklahoma's really flat, especially if you come from the Northwest where we have actual mountains.
Yeah.
So after she'd been in there a little while, she was talking to a lady and she said, all right, what are these mountains that they're talking about? I don't know what they're talking about. And the lady goes, where are you from? And she goes, Oregon. She's like, oh, she said, you and I know what real mountains are, because that lady was from Washington. She's like, you see that pile of rocks over there on the horizon? Deanna's like, yeah. She goes, that's the mountains they're talking about. And Deanna said, it literally, it just looks like a pile of rocks. But in Oklahoma, that's a mountain. So I'm going to miss the mountains. I can tell you that much. But otherwise, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, good luck. I hope it just all works out and goes swimmingly. And you enjoy your little time spent with Doug and his wife.
Yeah, we're going to the convention. That's happening.
So, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. I think Liam's going over from the UK, which I'm not sure how he's going to do that, because our travel restrictions at the minute abroad are fairly strict.
Really?
I wouldn't be able to come anyway, because just money wise, I'm saving for a house. So there are slightly more important things than the convention. Don't tell Cam that.
He never listened to this crap anyway. So.
if they decide to put the convention in Vegas, I'm there.
There needs to be a convention in Vegas, if only for the memes.
Put it in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Put it in Las Vegas. Get me a honeymoon suite.
Yep.
Send me to the nearest chapel so I can marry someone against everyone's judgment, and come back with hopefully an SLR victory, some new friends, and a wife.
Yeah, I've always said if I ever get married again, I'm going to Vegas and I'm going to find an Elvis impersonator to do the ceremony, because why take it seriously the second time around?
So you could go really budget and dress up as Elvis yourself and just do it in a mirror.
Elvis did get kind of fat toward the end, didn't he? That would work.
Yeah. And then, just stay away from toilets.
Agreed.
Isn't that where he met his end?
Agreed. Yes. On that cheerful note, maybe we should wrap this thing up.
Yeah. It's always a It's always a hard thing to end a show.
Yeah,
and we always find the best ways.
This will people, if you're listening to this now, obviously this was recorded before the weekend, and we probably won't get it out before the games. So you all can make fun of us for any of our wacky predictions that did not go correctly. We welcome feedback. Feedback.
As long as it's positive and towards any negative feedback can go towards coach. I am very fragile. Oh.
We're going to end on that. Thanks a lot, folks.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
See you later.
And there you have it, my friends. All the best insight from both sides of the pond. The crown versus the colonies, east versus west. Something of the sort. Revolutionary War II. Actually, we didn't really disagree on anything, did we? Can't call it a war. But yeah, that's the news, and I'm sticking to it. I always enjoy doing those shows with Slynn. I like his perspective. He's got a little bit different perspective on the league than a lot of people do. Maybe it's because he's from a whole different country. Who knows? But I enjoy it. It's fun to do. I mentioned, I think twice in the episode, that I am going to be moving. And once I get moved, once I get settled in, Coach's Corner is going to be making an investment in upgrading our equipment. That's right. We're going to get new mics, a few new things of that nature, and just to try to make this a little bit more professional. I know it's me, so how professional can it get? But we're gonna at least upgrade the product a little bit. And going into next season, we will be planning. We're gonna have a regular schedule in place. Doug and I are gonna try and do some stuff together, and a lot more stuff together. I'm gonna try to bring in people and talk about some things maybe that aren't getting picked up by other podcasters. I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes, just want to cover all the topics we can, and see what we can come up with there. And with that, I'll leave you with one final note. Look for a big announcement when the season's over. We're going to be making some moves there, and going to be making some changes, and it's exciting, and at the same time makes me a little sad, but it is what it is, and life is good. This has been Coach's Corner, and as always, good luck and God bless, my friends.